Our guest for today, Kate Mikoto, is here. Kate, you feel good?
I do. Thanks for having me on, Larry.
It's great. I just realized I almost didn't have a chance to say we're going to start soon, but here we are.
Okay.
We're starting. She's a storyteller. She's always ready.
That's right.
Kate Mikoto is the producer for the upcoming 15th Annual Three Rivers Storytelling Festival, which is August 7th and 8th at Winchester Thurston School's North Campus, a relatively new location for the festival. It's been there for a few years now, and it works beautifully. Tell me about yourself, how you got involved in storytelling, and kind of your background.
My background is I'm professionally trained in the theater, but to be frank, my love of storytelling came from before I can remember learning how to speak, but learning how to listen. Every Sunday afternoon, my dad would call us all into his office at home, and he'd have what he called homeschool. And in homeschool, he would do nothing but teach us Irish stories, Irish history, Irish stories, songs, and then he'd make us repeat them back to him so that they would be ingrained in our memory and we'd be so proud of who we are. And he'd always say, you know, not everybody can be as lucky as you, born Irish, but you just have to remember you're special because of this heritage that you have.
What a great memory from your childhood. Now, where did you grow up?
I grew up just outside of Philadelphia.
So because that sounds like a Pittsburgh childhood, too, with so many Irish people.
Very similar, yeah.
Living here. Is your dad still living?
No, unfortunately, he passed away, but his stories still stay right with us.
I can just imagine. Now, what brought you to Pittsburgh?
I came out here to do the beginning of my undergraduate work, and I fell in love with this city and just wound up staying.
How long ago was that?
Oh, you'll know how old I am if I tell you,
well,
but
it
was in the 70s.
Okay. I wasn't trying to cipher that out,
okay.
I promise.
That's okay.
But one reason I asked, you've seen the city. You're a native pretty much at this point.
That's right.
And you've seen the city undergo a lot of changes.
Big time.
And when did you get involved with the Storytelling Festival?
With the festival, well, I've been going to the festival since almost the second year that it began as a supporter, because I would tell stories. I told stories when I worked at the Carnegie Museum of Art in their children's studio. I was the storyteller in residence there. So I totally supported the festival, but it's only been 2 years since I've jumped in on the administrative side.
Well, that's terrific. And you mentioned your training in as an actor. Mm-hmm. Are you still acting much? You act a little bit when you tell stories, but
a little bit, although what I love about it is the art form is so different, because acting, as much as I love it, is more static and staid, but storytelling is so fluid. You're never just saying the same thing over again. You're always listening and responding to what you hear from the audience, and then using that to reshape and rechange what you say next. So it's more like jazz. It's wonderful.
Yeah, my friend Alicia, who works for United Way of Allegheny County, we had a tour of a delegation from a number of different cities, about 40 cities, coming through Pittsburgh on Thursday of last mm-hmm. week. And she and I were both right here in our studios. These were people from other cities, from the National League of Cities, who wanted to learn more about innovative programs for children and youth. I was talking about what we do here at SLB. Mm-hmm. Alicia was talking about the After School Partners for Out of School Time program, APOST, mm-hmm. that she manages. Anyway, I told you that to tell you this. We had three different groups of people. Mm-hmm. A third came, and then they went somewhere else, and then another third came, and they went somewhere else, mm-hmm. and another third came, and they went somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I never do it the same way twice.
Yeah.
And my presentation to these groups was completely different in terms of content and delivery every time. And Alicia was pretty much like that, too. And we were joking afterwards how we both are pretty much incapable of addressing a group of people the exact same way, even if it's to cover the exact same material, because you have to consider who's in the audience. And you also yourself have to kind of be awake and alert and interested in what you're saying. And you're not going to be so if it's just the same thing over and over and over.
You have the true heart of a storyteller.
And as an actor, I never thought about it, but if you're in a play with other people, which typically you are, and to be faithful to the playwright and your director, you probably sometimes feel, robotic might be too strong a word, because you still have a little bit of excitement since there's a different audience, but you're constricted more, right?
Well, you definitely develop that team spirit when you're producing something, yes.
Now, you are in a good position to tell us about the festival, and sort of as an overview, it gets underway August 7th and runs through the 8th, Friday and Saturday, and there are workshops and concerts. I know you're involved in the ghost stories, I think, part of it.
I'm not involved in the ghost stories, but that will be fun because we'll have some regional tellers, and two of the national tellers are actually very famous for their ghost stories.
Ah.
Alton Chung, who's from Seattle, he's both Japanese and Korean and was raised in Hawaii. He's very well known for his ghost stories. In fact, he'll be doing a workshop on telling ghost stories. And Lynn Ford, who's from Ohio, a national teller, also is very well known, and she'll be telling in the ghost concert as well. So that should be very fun.
Now, August 7th, August 8th, the date, and it's the Three Rivers Storytelling Festival. So the website is the numeral 3RSTF. .org.
That's exactly
That's the
right.
way to remember it.
That's
Three,
right.
RSTF.org. Kate McConnell is its producer, and I asked Kate if she would share a story with us today.
Okay.
And it's a story that just about any Pittsburgher will be able to relate to, but regardless of where you're from, I think you'll be able to relate to it as well. And here she is performing now, sharing a story with you, Kate McConnell.
All right. Once, long ago, and not far, right around Pittsburgh, there was a man by the name of Steve Metrovich, and he was the biggest and the strongest steelmaker in Allegheny County. And he had a daughter, Mary, and she was the prettiest girl in Allegheny County. And one day, Mary came to her dad, and she said, "Papa, I want to get married. I want to marry Pete Pussick." And her father said, "What you talk?" He said, "I'm the papa. I decide who you marry, and you must marry the second best steel-making man around, and I will have to find out who he is. How will I do that?" And what he did was he threw a huge party, and to that party he invited all the eligible steel-making men all up and down the rivers, and they came on the 4th of July. They had pierogies, and they had kielbasa, and they had cider, and at the end, they had a contest. On the ground were three big steel iron girders. They called them dollies. The first one was 300 pounds, the second one was 500 pounds, and the third one was 800 pounds. Whoever could pick up the heaviest one, the highest, was the one who would win. Well, they all lined up in front of the 300-pound one, and they all but three made it through. Pete was one of them. They all lined up for the second one, but this time, oh, they grunted and they huffed and their eyes popped out and the sweat ran down their face. And in the end, only two men were able to move on to the second one, but they were exhausted and Pete Pussick was one. And just as they were trying to lift with no success at all, that 800 pound, it just stuck there in the ground. All of a sudden, the ground began to shake. And there was this huge, thunderous noise, and probably people realized that it was laughter. And they turned around, and way in the back of the crowd, they turned around and they saw this huge, tall man pushing his way from the back to the center where the dollies were on the ground. He was 10 feet tall. His hands were as big as hams, and his feet were as big as snow sleds. And he bent over, and he said, so loud that the ground began to shake again, and he reached down and with one hand, he picked up that 800-pound dolly, and everyone went, oh. And then he took it, and he threw it up in the air and over his head, and he caught it with his other hand, as light as a feather it was. And everyone said, what kind of man are you? Who are you? And he said, me? He said, my mother was a mountain. My father was the ore that ran through the mountain. And from their union, I was born. I am a man, and my body is made totally of steel. And I am the best steel-making man in the world. And my name is Joe Mazurak. And then all the people, they burst out laughing because they knew that in Eastern European language, which where they were all from originally, the word Mazurak meant jackass or donkey. And Joe began to laugh too.
Yeah, that's funny, huh? I'm Joe Jackass, he said. And I'm just like a donkey because all I want to do is eat and work. I love to make steel.
Well, Steve Metrovich said, well, Joe, clearly you are the winner of this contest, so you get to marry my daughter Mary. And Joe said, what? He said, no. He said, I don't have time for no marriage. He said, all I want to do is make steel. So Pete Pusick, you look like a good guy. You marry Mary, and you rest of the guys, you take me, and you show me how you make steel. And that's exactly what they did. They took him to the steel mill the next day, and they showed him the huge, great big cauldrons, like three men high, who would be hanging from the ceiling. And underneath it was a huge blast furnace with fire at tens of thousands of degrees. And they showed Joe how they would dress in these huge protective garments to keep them protected and would stand way back from the cauldron as they dumped in the iron and the coke and all the other ingredients to make the steel to melt it down and the big long sticks they used to stir it. And he just looked and went,
ho, 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 that's how you make steel? I show you how I make steel.
And he walked over to that iron ladle, close enough that all the men said, Joe, Joe, don't get too close, you'll burn up. And he began to put his hand into the cauldron itself. And they all said, what are you doing? And he said, no, he said, it would take days and days for this fire to melt me down. I will show you now how I make steel. And he stuck his hands into the cauldron, and he began to stir directly right with his hands. And he stirred and stirred until all the ingredients were just right, and he reached down into that cauldron, and he pulled up two big fists of molten steel, and he squished them in his hands. And as he did, beautiful, perfect iron girders began switching out from between his fingers. Perfect iron girders. And he said, me? That's how I make steel. So come on, let's go. And that was the beginning of Joe Mazurak coming to make steel in Pittsburgh. And he made making steel fun. These men who had such a hard time and life was so difficult, he made it fun with his laugh that would continually shake the ground. And he would always give them such great pride. He would say, look at this, what we're making. You see this? We make the iron girders that make the railroads, that make the trains go across the country. We make the iron girders that build the huge skyscrapers and the cathedrals. We are making tools that make America a great country. And life began to be a matter of great source of pride for these steelworkers for the first time. But then one day the manager came in and he said, boys, shut it down. We need to close the mill. And they go, why, why? He said, we're not big enough. We can't handle all the steel that we're putting out. And we're just not there. We can't do it. So we're going to have to shut things down indefinitely. And Joe said, but what? What? What do I do? And he said, I'm sorry, Joe. We have to close this plant. And so all the men, they dragged themselves out of there. But late that night, Joe snuck back in. He heated up that furnace, and he climbed into that cauldron. The next week, when they opened the mill and the men walked in, and they looked inside that cauldron, all they could see was the head of Joe Mazurak floating on top of that molten steel in the cauldron. And they said to him, Joe, Joe, what have you done to yourself? And he said, no, boys, this is the way we have to go. We need to keep this city making great steel. Melt me all the way down. And from the steel in my body, you pull out that girders. And with that, you build the biggest
and the strongest steel mill that ever existed, and you make the most perfect steel out of steel from my body. And that's exactly what they did. They built this huge steel mill and made the most perfect steel, and into every single drop and load, they took a drop of that vat of steel that contained Joe Mazurak. And as a result, Pittsburgh became known as the city in the world that made the absolute best and finest steel. And to this very day, people say that if you are standing in a building, a big building, that it's made out of the steel that comes from these Pittsburgh steel mills, and you feel that building shaking just a little bit, you know what that is, don't you? It's Joe Mazurak inside there, and he's still laughing.
Kate McConnell with a story that maybe you've heard before. I've never heard it quite like that. And that's one of the beautiful things about storytelling. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
The story of Joe Mazurak. And Kate's the producer of the Three Rivers Storytelling Festival, which takes place August 7th and August 8th. It's at Winchester Thurston's North Campus. And if you'd like, why don't we provide an overview of some of what's happening? Activities get underway Friday, August 7th in the evening. There are master classes as well as
there's a master
beginning.
Class on Sunday. It goes from 10 until 4, and that's at Winchester Thurston North Campus. But actually, this year, by a wonderful grant from the Graywell Foundation.
Yeah, there's some early bird activities.
Yeah.
I almost forgot about those.
On Friday morning, August 7th at 10:15, in the Carnegie Library's lecture hall, which is a big, beautiful old theater, there is a free concert. All four of our national tellers who are most of them are nationally and some of them internationally known. All four of them will be giving a concert from 10:15 to 11:45, totally free to anybody who walks in the door.
That's terrific. And this is in the Oakland area,
yes.
This Carnegie Library and the Carnegie Lecture Hall, which in and of itself is a beautiful place to go.
Beautiful.
So you can see the four headlining tellers. And who are they?
The first is Connie Reagan Blake, and she is the person who really is responsible for the resurgence of the storytelling movement in the U.S. about 35 years ago. And she has now been awarded by the Library of Congress a mark of distinction. They have, because of the great work she's done, they've asked for a compilation of all her work to be stored in the Library of Congress. Then Jim May, who's from Chicago, he's a wonderful man. He's worked a lot on stories with Studs Terkel. And then we have Lynn Ford, who is an African-American woman from Appalachia, and she tells what she calls Afrolation stories. And then we have Alton Chung, as I say, who is from Seattle, who specializes in Japanese and Hawaiian folktales and legends and stories of growing up in Hawaii.
So Friday, August 7th, free of charge, starting at 10:15 at Carnegie Lecture Hall in Oakland, free concert, and it's sponsored by our friends at the Grable Foundation, suitable for kids and adults. And are tickets necessary, or can you just walk up?
They're free, but what you need to do is go on to the webpage for the Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh in their Oakland, the main library, and they have an events page, and you can sign up. It's very easy to sign up and register, although it costs you nothing.
Yeah, hopefully it'll fill the house. I mean, I would love for you to be able to go, but I would suggest signing up just in case because it's not the largest venue. I think it maybe holds 300-400.
I think they said 600.
Oh, 600?
So
okay.
We would love to have that filled.
Oh, that would be great. I think it is a little bit more. Now, there's also a Market Square event early too, right?
Market Square on Tuesday, August 4th from 10 to 11:30. People just can come in and leave, but we have two fantastic, Alton Chung again. He's come into town early and has agreed to do a number of things for us, so we're very grateful for his help. And then Tim Hartman, who is a national teller, but he happens to live right here in Pittsburgh, a great man. And he and Alton will be doing a tandem. They'll be switching off and telling great stories down at Market Square.
Now, we just have a couple minutes left. We mentioned Friday is when the main festival begins at Winchester Thurston School.
Right.
So there are going to be concerts, workshops for master tellers as well as beginning tellers. Maybe highlight some of the things happening Friday and Saturday.
Okay. Well, Friday we have a liars contest and we have a main concert. On all day Saturday, the national tellers and regional tellers will be telling. But the fun thing, at 4 o'clock on Saturday, we have the world premiere of a story scrum. Never been done before. Scrum is taken from that initial rugby term, you know, when they start in the middle with their heads all pressed together to try to catch the ball.
Right.
So rather than a story slam, which is one person against another, it's teams of tellers competing. One team will tell traditional tales, one team will tell personal narratives or true stories, and one will tell lies. And it's a big battle. And the audience will get to determine at the end which team actually wins. So that should be very fun. And then on Saturday, we also have a ghost concert and a main tellers conference as well.
What a great festival. You can get more information at the numeral 3, rstf.org.
And I just want to say, Grable has been wonderful in funding us over the years, but this is also possible by a grant from the Pennsylvania Council for the Arts. Again, this would not happen if it weren't for their support, and we're incredibly grateful.
Kate McConnell, thanks for being with us. I know it's a busy time for you as you produce the festival. Anything else you wanted to add before?
No, you're a great interviewer. You got this all out of me ahead of time.
Well, thank you,
thank you
so
Larry.
Much. And thanks for sharing a story with us. It's